You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-lunch pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to the official Masked Singer podcast.
Amazing.
Yes.
A production of iHeartRadio and Fox, executive produced by KT Studio. We are the one, the only official podcast for the Masked Singer.
Wow.
You know what time it is, man. America's number one show and the biggest best mystery game on TV. Yo, 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 what up, what up? It's your boy Bow Wow, man, back again. Yes, that's right. I mean, listen, y'all can call me Bow, or you guys can just call me Fro. You know what I mean? Since it's the Masked Singer universe, I think I can't run from being with Fro. So I'll take that. And I'm here to give you guys the lowdown on everything happening behind the scenes of your favorite show, which is the Masked Singer. Exactly. Coming up, I'm going to holler at one of our esteemed panelists, and y'all know who I'm talking about. My boy Robin Thicke will be checking in with us today, and I'm also going to talk with Tiana Gandelman, the creative director of The Masked Singer. When I found out that your husband actually works alongside of you too, it blew me away. I couldn't believe it.
Bow, what up, man?
There he is. That's my man right there, Miguel. What's going on, bro? Man, you know, musical director of the show.
And also, you know your boy Bow Wow. Definitely have the first interview with tonight's Unmasked Singer. And as always, I have an exclusive clue for all of our podcast listeners. I mean, what's a Masked Singer podcast show without your boy Bow giving you a clue?
But before we get into that, let's go ahead and recap what went down in episode 4. Are you ready? I'm ready.
Oh my God!
Tonight's episode was crazy. But when you guys cast your votes, along with the judges, of course, we finally saw who Baby Alu really was.
Take it off! Take it off!
Jets, great Mark Sanchez. He had me thrown up, all right? I would have never guessed it. Of course, you know, I got the first interview with Mark Sanchez up on the way. But now that we're all caught up, let's go ahead and get this thing started, shall we?
Now, all of our Masked Singer panelists have their strengths. We all know this. And weaknesses, too. Especially when it comes to predicting performers and, you know, identifying a celebrity. But I must say, my first guest tonight just might be the best detective of them all. Because, listen, when I was on the show, right, it wasn't even a second thought. Like, Rob, he automatically just knew. It's me. When I was Frog, he guessed it. And, you know, it's a special night tonight, man, because my man Robin Thicke is joining me tonight. Y'all know him. He's a platinum-selling artist, been nominated for 2 Grammy Awards. He's an actor, dancer, and producer. I mean, this guy's like the Bo Jackson of the business, man. Robin, what's going on, baby? Robin Thicke, what's up?
Yo.
Did
you just call me a dancer?
Oh, no.
That's one of the nicest things you've ever said. That might be the nicest thing anybody's ever said. I was born to dance, but I chose to sing. You know what I mean? That's how I see it.
Let's go ahead and jump into it, man. How did you get approached to do The Masked Singer?
It was funny. You know, I had just seen a few days earlier, I had seen Ryan Reynolds do the Korean version of The Masked Singer, and he was promoting Deadpool 2, and he sang Tomorrow in a unicorn costume, and it was hilarious. And then just a couple days later, my manager calls me and goes, I got a crazy idea. There's this show with contestants, celebrities dressed as animals and fruits, and people have to guess. And I was like, oh.
Giraffe, popcorn, dragon, and our first ever doubleheader, Snow Owls.
I was like, oh, no way. I just saw this show, or I just saw this clip with Ryan Reynolds. It was hilarious. Luckily, I got the tone right away, and I liked the tone. I wanted to be a part of something like that that was not – because I had taken myself very serious for a long time, my music so serious. I wanted something the opposite of taking yourself serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I can tap into that too, because when I did it, it was the same thing. It was like, yo, I don't have to be – Bow Wow. I don't have to be the cool rapper. I don't have to be, I get a chance to really be somebody who I am, but the people right. never get to see the side of me.
And that's what was fun. It wasn't about any story or preconceived notion. You just saw this person underneath a costume, and this person is obviously super talented. And that's what's fun about the show. You just get to be talented, and people get to appreciate your talent without knowing who you are for a minute. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. And I know one thing that me and you have in common, we started young. And you know, and there's advantages
well,
to starting young.
Star. You were a star young. I was a writer, producer young. I didn't really get on TV until I was like, you know, 25, 26 kind of, you know. Mm. So you were a superstar when you were a kid. So that's a much different challenge.
Yeah, but you was born with the gift, though.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to know what I wanted to do and do it at a nice level. I was like, Brandy was 14. My first cut was Brandy on her first album, and Brandy was 14, and I was 16, and I remember recording her vocals. So mm-hmm. you know that's cool when you get to start that young and know that what you're gonna do. But yeah. But it's all about staying consistent and trying to make the best you can always. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And just another thing too, man, because this season has been crazy. Matter of fact, let's jump back to season 3. Let me talk to you, Rob, for a minute, man, because it was crazy. Because when I got approached to do last season, I'm like, yo, oh my God, Robin and Nick, they're going to know me. Like, as soon right. as I get them talking, they're going to know. And your guessing skills on The Masked Singer, like, you're always spot on. Like, every time.
Well,
like,
not spot on, but if I've heard you or seen you, chances are, but there are some people that I'm not as familiar with that I don't really have a chance. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not in the gaming world, so I didn't know who Ninja was. You know what I mean?
Right. I feel you.
but when I see Bow Wow dancing, I'm like, you know, we've grown up together. Like, we've been on the same scene. We've been at the same parties. We've been on the same shows. You know what I mean? I'm like, I know that cat.
Yeah, it was crazy. I'm like,
it was like hearing Busta. It was like hearing Busta Rhymes. Like, the first two sentences Busta Rhymes spit, yeah. And I was like, oh God, that's the dragon.
First of all, dragon, your voice is so, oh, I felt like when you started singing, like I felt like I knew that voice already.
Yep.
Really?
Oh yeah,
I know exactly what you mean. I had Ken on the show last week, right? And we were just chopping it up, and I asked him, you know, has there been any celebrity guests that have been on this show where even you get a little starstruck, like, yo, like, I cannot believe.
Seeing Weezy was great. Obviously, seeing the greats like Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight, seeing Gladys Knight in the first season, you know, that was a big moment. You know, you get to really appreciate your legends. You get to remember icons you grew up with. You get to discover brand new voices that you didn't know existed. It just has a little bit of everything that's fun and heartwarming and special, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Rob, will you please tell everybody, because when you know they think that, you know, just because you're on the show, right, and of course the contestants on the show as well, they think that we get a chance to kick it with you guys backstage. They think we get to talk with you. Tell them about how it is when you walk onto that lot, onto a Masked Singer set, the secrecy. It's like going to the Pentagon or something. Like, tell them exactly how just over the top it is when you're on that set.
Man, you can't even tell your mama. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't tell my son. I remember the first season I tried to tell my son just one little bit. I was like, yeah, well, the B is actually this singer, Gladys Knight, and I played him a song, Gladys Knight. Next thing I know, his teacher's the next day like, your son mentioned to me that the B was Gladys Knight. You might want to tell him. You might want to not tell him anymore. I was like, that's it, son. You don't get no more information about anything. He went right to school. So the B is Gladys Knight. So yeah, man. No, but the show is so secretive, and really it's more fun for us. Like, I don't want to know, you know, and I don't want any extra information. I want it to be as pure to my senses as it is for the people at home, you know? So I try not to, I don't ask for help and I don't ask questions. And I just try to just use my general stupid lack of information. I try to use my eighth grade education as well as I can.
Let's go ahead and jump into this season, man, because there's a lot going on. Would you say, like, when I saw the premiere, I'm like, yo, these outfits, like, the wardrobe is getting even crazier. Like, I'm looking at whatchamacallit, and I'm like, that's exactly what it is. I don't even know what to call it, but that's what it's called. And then the baby alien. What would you say this season, who to you probably has, like, the most craziest outfit? Like, who should we keep our eyes on season 4 of Masked Singer? Who should we be watching out for?
Well, if you're talking about watching out for talent, there's some different things. But the costumes are so magnificent in different ways. The seahorse is so glittery and colorful and fabulous and sexy. And then you have the popcorn, which is fun and carnival-esque. And you know, the kids love that. Whatchamacallit, I don't know what that thing is. I don't want to see that. It's like the Babadook ate, you know, Snuffleupagus or something. I don't know what happened. But the mushroom is a great costume. Very cool. Very fitting to the character that's the singer that's underneath. Oh, like the owls are so cool. Man. And the baby alien is hilarious just to have that type of character. So I really think this season, in my opinion, this season is the best yet. Like, from what I've seen, it's the best season yet.
That's big right there. And y'all heard it from Rob. If he tells you this season is on fire, it's on fire. It's just that simple. So far, like, I know this year is tough because of COVID. You know, this is the first time you guys are actually doing a show without an audience, which has to be so tough because, you know, like I know as performers, we feed off of that crowd. Like, when I was on season 3, I fed off of the crowd.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure it just has to be so different, so tough. Just talk about the difference in, you know, the steps that you guys are going through and what makes, I would say what makes it different, but we know what makes it different. But how is it adjusting to this? Because like I said, the crowd, the in-studio audience, it's electrifying having them there. And we understand that, you know, it's important. So I know this has to be a little weird for you guys.
Well, you know, for Nicole and I, we're both used to crowds being singers, of course. And Jenny is a podcast professional. So she can work in any format. She can do a mining, you know, she can work in a cave. There's no place Jenny can't get her job done. And for Ken, it's been very seamless because he's used to not having an audience. Boom, got him. Got you, Ken.
that was a good one. You know he's listening, too.
No, but I think all of us, there's two things there. Yes, it's a little different. Yes, you're a little nervous because of the COVID factors and there's anxiety there. But then once you settle in and the comfort factor of being there with my big brother or some version of a big brother, Ken, and then Jenny and Nicole, and we're just up there and we're genuinely happy to be working and happy to be back on stage together. And right now, anything that feels normal again and feels family again is a positive. And this show, it's fun, it's warm, it's funny. And it really is, the people on stage have excellent talent, and us up on the panel, we are completely brainless and having the time of our life.
That was the most inspirational rock ballad I've ever heard from a baby alien. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was,
yeah,
you know,
good point.
That was a huge comeback from last time.
Ah, I still don't get it.
You hear that right there, man. Having the time of our lives. And you know, we doing that right now, man. Robin Thicke on the check-in, bro. I appreciate you. I know you're busy. I know you got to get back to set. I know you're doing a million and one things, man. So I'm going to let you go ahead and get back to doing what you're doing. We definitely appreciate you, though, Robin. You know we're going to be checking in, man, every week. You know that.
I love you, man, too. Thank you so much. And God blessings to you and your family and everybody out there in Masked Singer land. Don't miss the next episode. God bless you.
I told you guys that I got guests all day long. You know, every time I do the podcast, you guys know I'm bringing the party right here, man. I promise you. And as promised, you know, it's my job to get you guys closer and closer to all the behind-the-scenes content you can't get nowhere else but right here. So when you mention behind-the-scenes content, there's one woman that pops up in my head, right? And it is Tiana Gandelman, that's right, the creative director of The Masked Singer. When I say this woman oversees everything, I mean, listen, it's almost close to even craft. Like, that's how much she has this thing sold up. Tiana, what's going on with you?
Hi, how are you?
You know, I was just telling a friend of mine, it feels like it was just yesterday, that I was just there.
Yeah.
You come into the trailer, always giving me, you know, the 411 on what to expect. And a lot of people don't understand, you know, what goes into The Masked Singer and just the preparation. Talk about your preparation and how do you come up with these ideas? Like, are you inspired by the song choice? Like, once you know what the performer is going to actually perform, is that where you draw the inspiration from? For, like, the set designing and to everything that you do?
There's a couple things that come first and foremost, and it's first the costume. I'll be honest, the costume really takes me to like a world that we aren't usually in. And then the music is, it takes the next level. But then I have to truly say too, the person within the costume also lets me be super free with how far we can go creatively, you know? So knowing that you were in the frog costume as opposed to anybody else, I knew I could do more because you were open to more.
Would you say your background helped you, you know, with all of this? Like, you know, you Britney Spears, you know, you work with Christina Aguilera, just have an opportunity and a chance to work with, you know, great artists such as those. Has this helped you with The Masked Singer?
Yes, I definitely feel like this is my wheelhouse. I have played every part on stage. You know, I've been the dancer, I've been the choreographer, I haven't been the artist. However, when you're a dancer, you have to protect the artist at all times. As you know, I've been on stage with Christina and her brassiere is falling off and we have to dance to keep it on. You know, like, I know that you have to be there to support that star. So, you know, just preparing everybody on stage to know that as well, I think gives me an edge because I physically know what that is.
Because, you know, a lot of artists, you know, a lot of these celebrities, they have their own creative, you know, process. They have ideas as well. Have you ever, you know, presented an idea to one of the contestants and maybe, you know, you had a little back and forthness a little bit like, okay, I'll present you this, but this person wants this. Okay, I come back. Have you had that banter yet with anybody? Without saying any names, of course, we're not going to say any names. But have you had that?
Yes, I definitely have had that. As you know, when you come onto the show, there's so much mystery to it. You don't know what it is until you're in the costume. You don't know what you're gonna, how you're going to perform in the costume. And then to do it in front of an audience and a panel and all the cameras, it's like it's really transformative. But yes, I have experience. One in particular, without of course giving names, that had an opinion on everything. And at first I was like, well, dang, why isn't this person trusting me? But then I just went with it and said, okay, the only way this person is probably going to do great is if they feel great about the idea anyway. So I ended up working with it as opposed to against it.
Now I know season four, we kicking it off with a bang. And like I said, you've already had the opportunity to work with a lot of great performers and, you know, singers and celebs. So far, what would you say? What's your most surprising moment thus far?
I do think the biggest doozy so far that you guys have witnessed, it was Gremlin. Gremlin wasn't one of those people that wanted to rehearse. So we had to make sure that no matter what Gremlin was going to do, we needed to be ready. And that's a very hard task when you have a stage full of people and you have a lot of lights and you have a lot of things happening. So I think that one kept us on our toes the most because we just didn't know where the moving target was going to land.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. Did I just hear you say that someone didn't want to rehearse?
Well, yeah, because what I was told is that this person in particular was more of a freestyle. Like, I want things to happen naturally and I want things to happen organically. And in that came no rehearsal. So we had about two times with Gremlin on the stage and that was it. And that was what we got. but that was a doozy.
Something else that the people do not know, because, you know, right here on the Masked Singer podcast, we do love to give the people behind the scenes information. And when I found out that your husband actually works alongside of you too at the Masked Singer, it blew me away. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, as a matter of fact, is Miguel here? Can we get Miguel on the phone?
Bow, what up, man?
There he is. That's my man right there, Miguel. What's going on, bro?
How you doing, brother? Good to hear you, man.
I'm good, man. And just to go ahead and give the folks, you know, your background, man, you know, musical director of the show, and just talk about your input and you know, what do you do? What's your job title, man? Go ahead and give us a day in the life of Miguel.
So anything and everything that you hear from the speakers, it's coming from me and my team. You know, as a music show, we're responsible for all the music, all the performances, song choices, arrangements. Every single one of the songs are built from the bottom up. So, you know, drums, bass, background vocals, everything is me and my team of my musicians and producers and mixers. And then we go from there to arrangement. Obviously, all the songs are a minute 30, 90 mm-hmm. seconds of a song. So it's also within me and my team to be able to get a song that's whatever, 3 minutes, 4 minutes long and bring it down to 90 seconds. So you actually get the essence of the song within those 90 seconds.
And like I said, man, this your situation is so unique because not only do you get to do something that you love to do, but wifey is also in the workplace doing something that she also loves to do. Yes, so just talk about that, man. You know, you guys are working on the number one show on TV, being together at home, at work. I mean, it has to be pretty fly that you guys get a chance to work at a place that, you know, you're very passionate about.
I remember because, you know, when you guys are around the set, you're not supposed to talk to nobody, right? You're all disguised, like people don't know right. about it, but you got, you know, masks on, you got gloves on, can't see your neck, can't see anything, right?
You're right.
And we were just walking by the hallway and you walked by and T stopped by to say, hey, man, congratulations, this and that and that, blah, blah. You're giving her this big old hug, right? You're giving T this big old hug, this and that and that. And I just went up to you and I was like, yo, you know, that's my wife, right?
Yo,
and it was hilarious. And it was hilarious because you couldn't say anything. You can't use your words. You know what I mean? We're public. And it was just, and I was like, it's all good, brother. It's all good. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's all good.
And remember my body language? I was like, wait a minute. What?
You
I
were
was
shocked.
So, I was super shocked. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing.
What? It was amazing. But, you know, we do, she's stage, I'm music. You know, we do keep that very separate, and we have our own business and we have our own situation.
That's true.
But it's a beautiful, fortunate situation to be able to work, you know, and look to my right as my wife, and I can just go up to her and give her a hug and give her a kiss. You know, it's funny now when we were doing this whole the season four, you know, there's so many rules of the 6 feet of distancing and everybody has a mask right. on, you know, and every once in a while I can just go up to this beautiful lady on set and just go up to her and give her a hug and a kiss. And everybody's like, man, 6 feet, 6 feet away, 6 feet away. And I'm like, man, back off. It's my wife.
Yeah. Before I let you guys go, season four, what can we expect?
On my side of things, on the music side of things, there's a couple things that have never been done before on the show to look out for. And I'll just give one little treat out there. There will be a performance in which it's done fully a cappella.
Wow.
Meaning no music, nothing.
What?
Just a mask, just the artist, 90 seconds, you and a microphone, go.
I'm not even gonna lie, Miguel. I got chills because I'm like, for somebody to go a cappella, I already know this person can sing. Not sing, but sing.
Mm-hmm, that's what it is.
This person can sing. And I like that.
We're talking about 90 seconds of this person by themselves. letting the world have it.
I'm waiting for that one. And once again, Tiana, Miguel, thank you guys so much for checking in with your
thank
boy.
You.
I'm going to go ahead and let you guys get back to work because I know you guys got a lot of things going on.
Yes, sir.
As a reminder to all of you super fans out there, I want y'all to be patient, okay? Because in a few minutes, I will drop an exclusive clue for the next episode for all of y'all. Seriously, I promise, I got you, okay? And you know, you can only get it right here. But first, I want to bring in tonight's unmasked performer. He was a RoBos champion with USC. That's right. And to all my people in LA and Central Los Angeles, you guys know how much the Trojans mean to the city of Los Angeles. I'm talking about a 10-year NFL veteran, quarterback and New York Jets legend, my main man, Mark Sanchez. What's going on, baby? How you doing?
Take it off! Take it off!
Take it off!
Take it off! Bow Wow, thanks for having me, man. I'm stoked to be on the show. I'm calling from my phone, and hopefully it's not too loud here, but thanks for having me, bud. I'm excited.
Hey, Mark, look, man, from a sports fan and just, you know, family of Fox and family of the Masked Singer, man, let me just go ahead and congratulate you, bro, because, you know, for you to be an athlete and to tackle into singing live, like, do you have, like, any background in performing or singing or anything like that?
So I was in chorus as a young kid, all through elementary school and junior high, you know, involved in theater stuff growing up. I fell in love with theater as a youngster and just have so much respect for the way that those performers can move and sing at the same time. Getting ready for it, I would carry, the vocalist coach would remind me that that being on stage and doing this with a full costume on is a lot different than standing in front of the mirror at home and singing, or, you know, standing in the studio and recording stuff so I could practice. And so she gave me the ideas to, you know, run up and down the stairs a couple times to get winded. And then I would wear this really heavy backpack. I put like dumbbells in this backpack to simulate the costume when I was at home, and then put on like either a baseball helmet or like a kind of like a motorcycle looking helmet. And I would walk around the house doing my choreography and practice. So I could,
that's crazy.
So when I got to the stage, I'd be ready to go.
Next up, it's a true intergalactic life force. Everybody get fired up for the baby alien.
And it definitely helped, because carrying a note is one thing when you're all by yourself, then you get the nerves and jitters of being on stage, plus the weight of the costume. And, you know, it's showtime when the lights come on. And so it I'm glad she suggested that, because I would have never thought of something like that. And it was a big rehearsal for the actual performance.
Speaking of nerves, right, and speaking of being nervous, you've been in an AFC championship game. And you've been in games, right? I mean, packed stadiums, millions of people watching on television. When it comes to pressure, you've been there. So you know what it feels like. But what I want to know is, were you nervous when it was time for you to step on that stage and perform in front of the Masked Singer universe?
They were the good kind of nerves, because it was the same kind of nerves before you run out of the tunnel in an AFC championship game or a big time playoff game or a rivalry game. You feel so good because you're nervous because you want to start. Like, you just want the performance to be, you want to be in it, right? You want to be in the game, complete your first pass, maybe get knocked down or whatever, but you're just kind of in the flow of the game. And I felt that those same feelings and emotions and nerves with singing. The only difference is it's a skill that I haven't practiced since. I mean, I have in some ways, but not as much as a football player, right? Like, I've practiced football intensely for, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. The singing stuff, I mean, I put as many hours as I possibly could without losing my voice, right? I had to balance that these last couple months. But it was, there's like this point where right before the song starts, there's like these clicks, and then it goes to the beginning of the song. That like second click on the first rehearsal, I was like, oh my God, this is real. Boom. And we started singing. And then that third click on the real one, when it was like, when the actual judges are there and everything, that's when my heart sank for like a fraction of a second. And then you just snap into like performance mode.
I'm going to adopt baby alien.
No, I'm adopting baby alien. I want to take him.
Whoever that is under there, that must be so hard to sing, work the mouth and the hand as well. Like, you're like a true puppet master.
The baby alien costume is one of my favorites. And listen, I would have never in a million years guessed
you. How were you able to pull off the alien in the helmet? Please give up the tips. We all want to know.
To the show's credit, they set me up with this amazing puppeteer who was on Crankhangers, who's done a million things. And in just a short tutorial, essentially, for, you know, I don't know, 45 minutes maybe in one day was the initial meeting. And after that, he showed me so much about posturing a puppet, understanding, you know, your extremes, like your extreme left look, your extreme right look, ensuring that you lock eyes with the different judges, understanding hand movements and gestures and what really accentuates, you know, surprise or excitement or, you know, sadness or anything like that that you had to show or convey to the audience. And it was this entire new world of a brand new challenge for me, which made it fun. So to match up the words of the puppet's mouth to the song was something difficult in and of itself. But then to create a new character and essentially a personality for this baby alien was another part of it. So it's like this multi-layered onion. And, you know, each time I would do my very best to compartmentalize, like, okay, right now I'm going to work on the singing for the next, you know, half hour, 45 minutes. And then after that was, okay, I'm just going to play around with this puppet for a while and see how I react to certain things that are happening on a daily basis, whether it's my son at home, DJ, who's, you know, 3.5, he's almost 4 now, but I would read to him books and he has reactions to certain things. So we'd read books about volcanoes and he'd talk about the volcano exploding. And then I have the puppet in my hand and I'm reading the book to him and I would, you know, react as if the puppet heard something for the first time or learned something new or had something to teach Daniel or, you know, was excited about something for Daniel. So my son really helped me create this personality behind the puppet or inside the puppet, if you will. And then at the end, the last few days of rehearsing was bringing all of that together. The saddest day was giving the puppet back, right? Sending the puppet back because he kind of became a part of our family in a weird, creepy way, I guess, because he was a part of nighttime reading. And that's what I do to my son. We read every night before he goes to bed. So it was it really was a joy. And I miss that little guy.
And what about the accent? Like, how did you develop the baby alien character? And where did the accent come from? Because, Mark, look, you did something that I thought about doing, right? I was talking with my boys and I'm like, yo, I want to like change the pitch of my voice. I don't want no one to know it's me. What did you draw the inspiration from to bring this character to life?
That was just another trick and joke to throw him off even farther, to try and essentially pretend to be, you know, somebody else. That's somebody else. That's a baby alien. If that makes sense. Essentially some sort of Eastern Bloc, you know, baby alien, Eastern Bloc, outer space, something or another. You know, I've heard people do the Southern accent. I know they change your voice to a really high-pitched voice anyway, but, you know, I kind of ran it by them to make sure I was allowed to do that. And they said, go for it, you know, whatever you want. And it was, I thought it went over so well and totally threw everybody for a loop because they're like, okay, hold on. This guy can sing okay, like he's moving around pretty good, so it could be an athlete, but he's also someone like that has this connection with Broadway, so it took him totally down the wrong path, which was excellent because I didn't want to give up any freebies.
Yeah, you have to try those little tricks. After you were unmasked, that being on the show, it was like a bonding experience for you and your son. And I can kind of relate to that because my daughter played a big role in me actually doing The Masked Singer and actually becoming the Frog. I know it meant a lot to you. Talk to me a little bit about that.
I can't tell you how much fun we had just to see his face. He's like, man, like I know these songs because he heard me. He knows all the words to Faith. He knows all the words to Imagine Dragons. It's time. And he's heard me sing these songs for weeks. And he had no idea what was going on, but to see it all come together for him as he watched the reveal was hilarious, you know, because he's like, wait a second. And he finally put two and two together and realized that was me the whole time. and his face was just priceless.
Man, look, Mark, that's so awesome. I just got to take my hats off to you, man, you know, because from one father to another, I just feel like that's very, very solid. That's so solid. Tonight, man, your childhood clue referenced a fire truck, and it said that it was near and dear to your heart. So talk to all of the Masked Singer podcast listeners out there about what that fire truck symbolizes for you and what does it mean.
So my dad was a firefighter for a long time, and let's just preface the whole clues thing. Even though I knew I performed on the show, watching my clue package, I still had to question it because they are so hard, and they do such a good job at coming up with these clues that are, you know, they shed light on some things, but they really keep you in the dark. And so the fire truck was, my dad was a fire captain for 30-ish years. As, you know, when I was growing up, he retired after, you know, 2010, 2011, maybe. But yeah, he's a lot of people know my connection to that. But that is such an insider clue that I knew it wouldn't tip the scale on them figuring it out.
Yo, Mark, man, thank you so much, my brother, for hanging out with your boy tonight. I really appreciate it. Your performance was epic.
I appreciate it.
All right, bro.
Bye.
And now the moment that you guys been waiting for, available only to iHeart listeners. It is time for all of you super fans to get this week's exclusive clue. All right, now last week, you know your boy, I spoke to the clue czar, but right now he's out drawing up crazy clues and riddles to keep you guys guessing. So who else is going to take over? Who's going to stop me? Do I need to call somebody? Oh, me. No, I don't need to call. I'm going to take over. That's right, man. I'm the substitute clue czar this week. And I got to say, it feels good to be king. Now, I know how LeBron feels when he calls himself the king. I know how it feels now, okay? Because in my hand, I am holding an envelope that contains the exclusive clue that just might help you uncover who one of our celebrity contestants is. All right, here it goes. Get a little drum roll. All right, y'all. This week's exclusive official Masked Singer podcast clue is Serpent's costume is actually a huge clue to his identity. Let me go ahead and say that one more time. Serpent's costume is actually a huge clue to his identity. I'll let that sit on your brain for a minute, but don't work yourself up too hard. I can see you right now squinching eyes and thinking really hard, biting teeth. Listen, do not work yourself up, okay? Oh, man, I'm sitting here thinking, what could that mean? I guess you guys better start really analyzing and looking at that costume. I think it's time for you guys to pay attention to Serpent's wardrobe and look really, really good. You know what I mean? You got to look really, really good. All right, you guys, that is a wrap. The next Masked Singer episode is preempted next week because we all got to watch the World Series. I know I will be watching the World Series. I even ordered me some special peanuts. That's right. I will be eating peanuts in my home and dropping all the peanut shells over my living room floor. Why? Because I want to feel like I'm actually there. I mean, it's COVID, it's a pandemic outside, so I want to feel like I'm there. I forget, you get what I'm saying? If you've never been to a baseball game, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but I know you do know what I'm talking about. The show and this podcast will be back with you guys the week after next with more exclusive clues and interviews. So keep it locked right here. This is your official Masked Singer podcast.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Bring along the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to add a sprinkle of joy to your workday. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.